He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday morning, March the 12th edition of Best Stocks Now Show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. How many times over the last couple of years have you heard me say the NASDAQ's up, but the Dow is down? Well, that's been the pattern over the last few years. Nobody really, it seemed like, wanted to own bank stocks and copper stocks and fertilizer stocks. Well, guess what? We've got a new trend developing. NASDAQ down, Dow up. And that seems to be a trend that is becoming more and more common. And I'll tell you where it's really showing up is in the ranking of the ETFs in my app. No longer are the growth ETFs leading the way. No, it's the value ETF. So I thought today, once I get through these statistics for the day, we'll do a little value investing 101. Even the television stations, surprisingly, they're usually way late to the game. They're finally starting to figure it out. There's a massive move here from growth to value. S&P down 7 right now, 39.32. That's significant. It could not close above its high yesterday. It bumped its head, and it's backing off again. Dow up 163. That's the home of the fertilizer stocks. NASDAQ down 145. That's the home of the high PE, highfalutin tech stocks. Crude oil 12 cents to the downside, 65.90. Gold down $17. Here's the bugaboo. And I told you this was going to happen. 10-year bond, 1.62 up 9 basis points today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, 24 years behind the trading desk, 24 years behind the chart watch station. I'm looking out with my binoculars, looking at charts, trying to figure out which way the market's going. Well, 24 years behind the microphone, too. Maybe, just maybe, some of the things I've witnessed over the last 24 years may come in handy, because I'm starting to see a repeat of history here. History does repeat itself. People go back in and do the same crazy things years later that they tried many years before, even though it didn't work out and led to disaster. Let's try it again. Maybe it'll work this time. Well, there is a massive shift taking place in the market. As I said at the opening of the show, over the last 2 years, I would say, it's been all about the FANG stocks and the mega cap stocks. The bigger, the better. The more techie, Twitter and Facebook and this kind of thing. This is where the action's been over the last couple of years. Well, I would use a horse race analogy here. You know, growing up, my father would take me to the horse races on Saturday. And my mother would take me to church on Sunday. Okay, I had quite a dichotomy growing up as a young child. I had to make some decisions as I grew older. But anyways, watching the horses was a fun thing to do. I'll just say this, you know, you get a horse, most horses are either front runners or they like to lay back in the pack and make their move, you know, about midway through the race and pass tiring horses. Well, you know, a front runner horse will get out in front and hope he can go wire to wire, they call that, go all the way with nobody passing him. Well, when they start to get tired on that turn and horses start to creep up from behind and eventually start to pass that tiring horse, the jockey's got a couple of choices. He can pack it in for the day, and hopefully things will go better next time. Or he can start whipping that horse. I know it sounds mean, but that's the nature of the beast. A jockey has a whip, and sometimes he'll start giving his horse a few taps on the rear to see if he's got anything left in him. And generally speaking, when a horse is winded, he's done, okay, at the top of the stretch. You can keep beating that dead horse. I don't mean dead, but he's dead as far as this race goes. Or you can say, you know what? This horse is getting past. There's momentum is shifting from one to another. I would also use a relay race analogy. Now, in high school, I was a football player, not of any note, and a shot putter and a discus thrower, okay? And at the track meets, they would love to get the discus and the shot putters together for a relay. They called it the fat man's relay. Although I was trim and buff and all of this and that, us four shot putters would race the four shot putters on the other team. We'd huff and puff for 110 yards and hand off the baton to the next guy and then to the third guy, and then the fourth guy would bring it home. In other words, the baton would be passed from a tiring 110-yard sprinter to a fresh 110-yard sprinter. Well, the NASDAQ's ran the race of its life here over the last couple of years, and it just looks a little tired to me. I started talking about a valuation problem showing up in the market. That was kind of the first shoe to drop. But even with that valuation problem, that did not keep the market, the high-tech stuff, from going higher and higher and higher and creating even more of a valuation problem. And as you know, my system of investing involves two major criteria, value and momentum. So a stock can start to become overvalued, but as long as it maintains its momentum, hey, you know, let it go. You can make money off of crazy people buying these stocks at high valuation levels. But when that momentum starts to disappear from that kind of stock, look out below. Because there's no longer a valuation base that will catch the stock on the way down. And that seemingly is the problem right here. Now, there's also, I've taught many workshops over my years in the business, 24 years, many live audiences. I plan on really doing a lot more on the workshop front. Webinars, going forward. We should have several on the schedule for 2021 here soon. But having said that, generally speaking, an audience, you've got an aisle down the middle, and you've got a bunch of people here on the left. You got a bunch of people here on the right. And I always use the analogy of mostly investors either fit into the value camp, especially professional investors, or the growth camp. And you will see in your 401ks and in your choices that you have, or in ETFs or in mutual funds, generally speaking, you'll have the choice of a small cap growth fund, or you'll have the choice of a small cap value fund. There's a big difference between growth and value. I would say, in simplest terms, it comes down to valuations. Growth investors buy higher growth, higher PE, more expensive stocks. They pay up for these stocks because they're growing so fast. Whereas value investors pay much, much more attention to valuation, and they pay very little attention to momentum. A lot of value stocks will sit there and sit there and sit there for the longest time because they have no momentum. Now, when a value stock starts to get a little momentum, then it starts to catch my interest. But generally speaking, there's a big divide. There's a big divide in the investing world, especially in the professional investing world. At one extreme, you have the ARK style of investing, which is really based on momentum. Stocks of tomorrow, stocks that someday will grow into their valuations, hopefully. And at the other side of the ledger, way down at the other end, are the value investors who look at things like price to sales and price to value and price to book value, and they tend to be very persnickety value investors. Value investing has been out of style really for the last several years. In fact, I've seen some value shops close up. They should have hung in there a little longer, because it looks like now value investing's day is coming back into the sun once again. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the difference between these two methods of investing and try to find some good examples from the value camp these days. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of Value Investing 101. I had a guy write to me yesterday. You need to rename your the funds that you manage. You have the Premier Growth Portfolio, Gunderson. Maybe it should be the Premier Value Portfolio. Well, I'll just say this about that. I still require growth, and I still require momentum, okay? Now, when I talk about value investing, there are hardcore value investors. You're talking Benjamin Graham, who wrote the book on value investing. Graham and Dodd, Benjamin Graham, David Dodd, wrote the book, Securities Analysis. You can read it. It's 700 and some odd pages. Warren Buffett, obviously, a hardcore value investor. Others that I followed over the years, David Dreeman, wrote a book on, he did studies on, if you just took four criteria, price to earnings, price to cash flow, price to sales, price to book, and you just bought the bottom quintile of those four different, he did a study on each one. Now, when he wrote the book, his statistics and analysis showed that buying the bottom quintile of PE, the bottom quintile of price to sales, etc., outperformed over time. But, you know, the period of time that he was studying value investing, which was much more popular and much more in style, if you did that same study, I don't know what it would look like over the last 10 years. I can tell you that the lowest PE stocks have not outperformed the higher PE stocks over the last 10 years. But now maybe we're having a whole switch, a whole cycle coming around where low PE, low price to book, low price to sales, low price to cash flow. There's lesson number one. Those are the four main things that value investors look at. I throw in forward PE ratio and PEG ratio, because those kind of relate to the growth rate of the stock. But the four main value measures, and I show them in my app, are price to earnings, PE ratio. They're all backwards looking. Price to sales, the price of the stock divided by the sales per share. Price to cash flow, which can be a little bit different than price to earnings, because cash flow can be a little different than earnings. And you have price to book value, what the company actually owns. This really comes into play with the bank stocks, where book value really matters. And I would say that most people in my industry are one-trick ponies. They're one or the other. They're value investors, or they're more growth/momentum investors. And I just came to the conclusion over the years of watching both disciplines and studying both disciplines very, very intently, I came to the decision, when I'm looking out at my crowd and they're divided into two aisles and there's a row down the middle, an aisle down the middle, I said the answer is somewhere in the middle of investing. There's a lot to be said about value investing. Value absolutely matters. And that's my problem with CanSlim, which was a momentum methodology invented by William O'Neill, out of the West Coast. He's a Los Angeles-based guy. Investors Business Daily, Momentum, Relative Strength. He came up with how to make money in stocks and whatnot, and technical analysis, etc. And there's a lot to be said about the value guys, okay? The problem is, here's the problem that I think, limiting yourself to one camp or the other. If you're a strict Graham and Dodd value investor, you'll never look at a stock chart. You won't look at relative strength. You really don't care too much about growth. You're looking to buy something where your valuation is much greater, your intrinsic valuation is much greater than where the stock is currently trading. And you pay no attention to momentum or stock charts. I've seen many value picks, top value ranked stocks, sit in neutral for years. IBM would be a perfect example. IBM has a very low PE, very low price to book, very low price to sales. I mean, compare it to DocuSign, all right? Compare IBM's ratios. There's your assignment today. Make two columns and look at four criteria: price to earnings, price to book, price to sales, price to cash flow, side by side, DocuSign, IBM. IBM has sat there and gone sideways for years. But it looks like a value stock on the surface. The same could be said about AT&T. There's another stock you could put side by side. AT&T and let's say, Zoom. Okay, Zoom. Zoom is in a similar kind of business where people get together and talk overseas or amongst one another. Put those two side by side, compare price to sales, price to book, price to earnings, price to cash flow, all right? Strict value investing ignores completely momentum. Now, on the other side of the aisle, pure momentum investors hold their nose and say, I don't care about valuations. What's that matter? It's all I know is the stock is going up. What's the poster child of that method of investing right now? The poster child is GameStop. That's the most overvalued stock in the entire market. Now, I could give other examples, Zoom Technology, Tesla, absolutely. I said several months ago in my newsletter, in my 24 years in the business, I've never seen a bigger bubble valuation than Tesla. But it had momentum galore. Okay, so the momentum guys are saying, what do I care about value? The stock is going higher. I come back to what I've said for many, many years, probably the last 15, 17, 18 years. I said, the answer lies somewhere in the middle. You have to be able to make a case for your stock from a valuation point of view. I mean, this is the formula, the methodology that the Best Stocks Now app is built upon. You will see a five-year target price listed on stocks. Now, right now, you can find stocks that have 100% upside potential, and they have horrible momentum. And you can find good momentum stocks, A+, but they have horrible value. I wait until I can find something where those two come together. I have to have momentum and I have to have value. We looked at Apple yesterday. Even though it looks like on the surface it's a good value once again, its momentum grade is F+. It's lacking the momentum side of the equation. Now, in the second half of the show, I'm going to give you some examples of where these two are coming together. Valuation and momentum. The momentum right now is not in Apple. It's not in Netflix. It's not in Facebook. It's not in DocuSign. It's not in Tesla anymore. It's not in Peloton. It was. But that horse is tired. It's ran its race for now. And the momentum has completely shifted to a whole different group of stocks. This is Bill Gunderson, Value Investing 101 on this Friday. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Docs Now show with Bill Gunderson. I've heard a couple of theories of what is taking place in the market. Everybody has a theory on the market. And one theory being put out there is that the market is broadening out, okay? This has been a move over the last couple of years. It's been a very narrow move. That's true. I mean, it started to broaden out probably late last year, but for a while there, it was really narrow. It was the big, giant tech stocks. For a while, it was almost FANG or stocks closely related thereof. That were moving the entire market while everything else was being left behind, okay? And so there's one theory out there, well, this is healthy for the entire market because the breadth is expanding and the move in the market, the Dow's hitting new highs, is now broadening out. I don't see it that way. I see it as a massive rotation that's taking place, okay? Now, if I ran a growth mutual fund or a growth ETF, I would be locked in to buying so-called growth stocks. If I ran a technology fund or an innovation fund or whatever the name of the fund, if it's a value fund, I'm locked in to what I'm able to invest in. My hands are tied. I'm constrained. And I realized a long time ago that, you know, value investing, it does come into favor, and it can come into favor for years. I watched the small cap value space lead the market for a couple of years. I want to say back in the 2005-2006 area, while the growth stocks were totally left behind. And a lot of people were writing articles back then, is growth investing dead? Well, over the last couple of years, the articles I've been seeing, is value investing dead? Well, guess what? All of a sudden, the market is rotating. That's my opinion. Market, I don't see money leaving the market. If you saw money leaving the market, why would the Dow be hitting a new all-time high? I see money leaving the NASDAQ, this is very simple terms, and going into the Dow, or Dow-like stocks. Now, if you look at the stocks that make up the Dow 30, NASDAQ is almost 100% tech. It's probably 80% technology. No, the Dow is a much more broad, diversified look across America at our economy. And you've got railroads, you've got airlines, you've got manufacturers, you've got basic types of commodity-related stocks. You've got, you're taking a look, not in the Dow, but as you broaden out, you're looking at utilities, you're looking at more cyclical home builders, lumber producers, steel producers, auto manufacturers. This is more of your basic type of economy, cyclical type of stock that is in favor right now, once again, after being out of favor for a long, long time. I mean, who wanted to own Dow Chemical or Deere when you could own Tesla or you could own Zoom Technology or Peloton, right? The one side is a little more sexy, a little more attractive than the other side, but your portfolio doesn't know the difference, okay? And now I designed the app to also detect this sector rotation. This is the biggest one I've seen in quite some time. Shifting away from the stuff that's worked over the last couple of years to the stuff that's been left behind. Okay. So it is not my theory that the market is broadening out to include the entire market. It's my observation, and therefore my theory, that the market is rotating out of one into another. And the ones that have to fight that rotation are the ones that are constrained by the discipline that they have to stay within. And that's why I've made a big point as an investor to be freewheeling, okay? Foot loose and fancy free. I'm unconstrained. I can go where I need to go in the market because the market does change, and you're seeing a big example of that right now. I would say there's a lot of people in the market right now today that have never seen, have never studied, have never looked at, have never done any work at all to learn about value investing. All of a sudden, you're going to see these value investing stocks come back into style. David Dreeman's contrarian book, Graham and Dodd's security analysis book. Of course, Warren Buffett, let's not leave Warren out. He's a hardcore value investor. And other stock or books out there, other people out there, Seth Klarman, David Einhorn, et cetera, the value investors all of a sudden are going to be the stars of the show going forward, while these people that have been riding these momentum waves to the top, they may really struggle and suffer and lose a lot of people some money going forward. We'll see how it plays out. So some examples, all right? Basic materials. As I watched the market yesterday, I continue to see major moves in the commodity-related stocks. There's a few things driving that. I would say number one, as we start to put COVID in the rearview mirror, we're going to get back to a more normal economy. What was the portion of the economy that worked so well a year ago? Work from home, WFH. Well, now people are starting to go back to work. Basic industries, basic types of things are going to do well as the economy continues to recover from a near shutdown of the economy. And during that time, I would say that manufacturing probably ramped down quite a bit, so now we've got some shortages out there. You're seeing that in a lot of the basic commodity areas of the market. Look at copper stocks. The copper stocks are flying. The lithium stocks are starting to move again. Nickel stocks, steel stocks, aluminum stocks. And there's another factor driving that move: rising interest rates. Okay, so there's another debate going on about inflation and rising interest rates. And there's a big camp that says, well, this is just a temporary move and we're going to fall back to normal inflation. You shouldn't be worried about inflation going forward. The Fed has it well in hand, well under control. Well, if you look at the yield curve, whether it's the 3-month versus the 10-year or the 2-year versus the 10-year, I'm not seeing that. And in fact, the Fed chairman, Jay Powell, almost seemed a little bit like, I don't know if we got it under control or not. I don't think they do. And I think you're going to continue to see rising interest rates, and I believe that the current administration favors rising interest rates. You know, it's pretty much, it's not in Jerome Powell's hands anymore. It's pretty much Janet Yellen now that's calling the shots as far as monetary policy goes. And you've got another big axe hanging out there in the way of fiscal policy. Now, that axe has not been swung yet, but watch for that conversation to come up real, real soon. So interest rates continue to rise. You're at 1.63%. We're seeing upwards pressure on lumber prices, cement prices, steel prices, copper prices. There is inflation starting to kick up. Okay, so I'm in the camp. Everybody can choose the camp they want to be in. I'm in the camp that inflation's going to continue to grow, and it's going to benefit some areas of the market. And I'm in the camp that interest rates are going to continue to rise. Why do you think the financials are probably one of the hottest sectors in the entire market? The lenders, the banks, because now they're finally getting a little bit of wiggle room. When interest rates were at 0.4%, there was not much of a margin in there when you're paying, you know, savers, taking in money, then borrowing, lending that money out. The margins were very, very thin. All of a sudden, those margins are expanding, and the financials are taking off. Just look at Goldman Sachs, Capital One, Citigroup, etc. Stocks that sat and sat and sat and sat. All of a sudden, they're the hottest stocks in the market. Something's going on. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson on this Friday. I'll be working on the newsletter today. You might learn something from this week's newsletter. There's a whole other side of investing that most people haven't seen for several years now. Value investing. It's taking over the market. Are you prepared? Do you know anything about it? What are value stocks here? What are value sectors? It's up to you. Or you can keep buying Peloton and Tesla and the latest flying robo-taxi that is self-driven and runs on hydrogen fuel cells. It's up to you. Well, I'm going to use an example here, okay? I've always found that one of the best teaching methods is to give an example. This is not a robo-taxi stock. This is a company from Michigan, okay? Probably going to find some basic industries in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This isn't Silicon Valley. I imagine there's a lot of trees in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We have a lot of trees down here in South Carolina. We've got some paper plants and lumber mills and this kind of thing. UFP Industries, Inc., symbol UFPI. They're in the sexiest business on earth. They manufacture lumber, composite wood, and other building products for the retail and construction industry. Now, if I were to go further about the sweet spot in the market right now, not only is it value, which, you know, pretty much divides the investing camp right down the middle, value or growth. You usually sit in one camp. I'm one of these very unusual hybrids. I'm a hybrid that sits in the middle. I listen to both camps. I take the best of each world, and I take the worst of each world, and use both in my own strategy. Well, I would also say that there's a big move away from large cap stocks, although the Dow's hitting new highs, so you can't say that completely. But it's moving from large cap growth to large cap value. It's moving from mid cap growth to mid cap value, and it's moving from small cap growth to small cap value. Well, let's give an example. I would say of the three, small cap value is probably the sweetest spot in the market right now. I've seen this story before. I've seen this picture before. I remember when I was invested in all small cap value stocks for the most part, oh, maybe 15 years ago, something like that. Well, UFPI is a small cap. It qualifies for that. It's $4.3 billion in market cap. It's not headed to $3 trillion someday. It's not headed to $2 trillion someday. It's not trading at 307 times earnings. It's trading at 17 times earnings. 17. Okay, most of your value stocks will be trading in the teens. There's a hint for you. I would say anything over 18 you're leaving the value camp and headed over to the growth camp. And then, of course, you have to compare that price-to-earnings ratio with the growth rate. UFPI has been growing their earnings by 22% per year in a non-inflationary environment. This is also an environment that still has relatively low interest rates, which has caused quite a boom in the housing industry. And if you talk to most builders, they'll complain about 2x4 prices and 2x6 and 4x4 and Douglas fir and all this kind of thing. Hardwoods are going through the roof right now on their prices. UFPI Industries has consistently growing earnings. When you compare a 22% growth rate with the PE of 17, you're getting a stock that's trading at a discount to the growth rate. Now, I like to look at forward PE ratios and compare them with the forward growth rate, because that's looking to the future, where the formula, the ratio I just looked at, looks at the past. Let's look to the future. Right now, UFPI is trading at 13.6 times forward earnings. 13.6. Let's just compare that with our friends over there at Tesla. Tesla is trading at 127 times forward earnings. 127 times forward earnings. UFPI is trading at 13.6. UFPI's growth rate over the next 5 years is expected to be 17% per year. That means that the PEG ratio, this is the forward PE divided by the forward growth rate, is less than 1. 0.80. Now let's look at the other ratios. Price to earnings, we already said 17. Forward PE, 13. Okay, keep it in the 17, 18, or lower. Price to sales, 0.83. Price to book, 2.93. Price to cash flow, 12.7. I would look up those ratios on every stock you are examining in this current market environment. That's just a little piece. You could do whatever you want to do, but I would know what I'm paying for a stock and understand that this is a market that now favors low PE, low price to sales, low price to book, low price to cash flow, because a match called rising interest rates has been thrown on the high PE fire that was raging. And that is now contracting that PE ratio. And the further you're out there on these ratios, the more it's going to contract. But the good news is, here's the good news, the market, the money is not leaving the market. It's just transferring from one aisle, the growth aisle over here, to the value aisle. The value aisle people are happy. They got smiles on their face. The growth investors are getting a little bit grumpy here. Well, it's up to you. Those are my 2 cents on this Friday. I'll be sending out my newsletter. We've done some remodeling here. I've been putting in some long, long hours. Generally speaking, when a trend remains in place for as long as that growth trend did, it's a lot easier. When things start to shift in the market, it's a lot more time consuming. You got to do the remodels or get run over by a steamroller from the industrial sector, which, by the way, has low PE ratios. Get the newsletter this weekend. You might learn something. GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call. We'll examine your portfolio as you sit right now. Are you in harm's way? 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.